The emphasis of the Gospels is on Holy Week, or Passion Week, the last 7 days of Jesus' ministry. The final week takes up 25% of both Matthew and Luke's Gospel. It takes up 40% of Mark's Gospel. It takes up 45% of John's Gospel. This week is why Jesus came for us. The story of Scripture, indeed the story of man, can be summarized by the events that occurred in two gardens. The first is the Garden of Eden, that located in paradise. There, Adam, the representative of all of us, was confronted with the choice of life or death. God said that the disobedience of Adam would bring death. The tempter said it would result in life. Who would he believe? What would he choose? Under the pretense of choosing life, he chose death. Adam chose to disobey God, and his choice resulted in not only his condemnation, but the condemnation and death of all his children. It resulted in our exile from the presence of God. The second garden is Gethsemane. I read a passage about that this evening. It's at the foot of the Mount of Olives. At Gethsemane, Jesus, the last Adam, is confronted with the choice of life or death. He knows the cup which awaits him is the painful and very shameful death of the cross. He knows this cup includes the bearing the punishment of the sins of his people. Now, Jesus is truly man as well as truly God. And as such, his human nature recoils in horror at what is rapidly approaching. Jesus doesn't want to die this way. And so he pleads with the Father. He requests that if it is possible to accomplish what he came to do in another way, that the Father would graciously take this cup of death, away from him, and find another way. Wants to escape the death of the cross. Three times he falls on his face in intense prayer. Did you hear Hebrews? He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. This is what's going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus hears a no from the Father. This is the only way. He has a choice: life or death. Life for him and death for us, or death for him and life for us. And yet Hebrews said that he was heard because of his godly fear. How are we to understand this? The Father said no to his pleas to escape the cross, but he heard Jesus, and he strengthened him for the coming ordeal. Through prayer, Jesus resolved the conflict in his soul and was strengthened to face what would happen on this day. This is, for us, Thursday evening. For Jesus, it is Good Friday, because the day began at 6 p.m. in the evening. So we're already in Good Friday as we start to read this passage. Earlier, Jesus told the apostles that if they wanted to be his disciples, then they must set their minds on the things of God, not the things of man. They must deny themselves, pick up their crosses daily, and follow him. This is the way of the disciple, because it is the way of Jesus. What is he doing tonight? He's denying himself. He will soon pick up his cross. He will follow the will of the Father. And this he does after a struggle. He voluntarily then submits to the Father's will. Hear what he prayed? Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Paul, in our lesson from Hebrews, informs us that Jesus was perfected in obedience on this night. Now, that's hard to understand, because though he was a man, he was also God. And yet, he too had to submit himself to the Father's will. If he is to be the last Adam, the true Adam, he has to succeed where Adam failed. Now, while this death and hell-shattering struggle was occurring, a struggle upon which the very salvation of his disciples, to wit, Peter, James, and John, what were they doing? How did Jesus find them when he came to them? Yeah, they kept nodding off, sleeping. I know, it's been a long day for them. They have attended the upper room discourse. Jesus has washed their feet. They didn't understand it. They have heard his high priestly prayer. They have been present at the institution of the Lord's Supper. They have been recipients of more than they can probably take in on this night. And now it's probably close to midnight. Who can blame them for being sleepy? Well, apparently Jesus can. He instructs them to watch and pray. Specifically, Jesus gives this instruction to Peter in Mark's gospel, and this is Peter's gospel. Mark writes Peter's gospel. It's the tradition of the church. Peter wants us to know that he was warned about what would happen this night. That while he was sleeping, Jesus came and shook him and woke him up and said, "Peter, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation." Now the word watch means be alert. It means the exact opposite of take a nap. Earth-changing events are occurring on this evening. And Peter and the others must be alert to what God is doing in Jesus, lest they fall to temptation. If they are alert to the situation, they will undoubtedly pray for Jesus in his struggle, that he might gain strength from God and answer to their prayers. On this night, they failed him. Rather than sleeping, they might have been better off praying to be strengthened, to be true to their pledge that they'd made a little earlier in the evening, to be faithful to him to the end. Only an hour or so earlier, Peter said, "Well, if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And the text said, and so said all the others, "We're going with you, Jesus. If you're going to die, we'll die with you." Three times, Jesus issues this exhortation to watch and pray, coupling with it that warning that you may not enter into temptation. Three times, he finds them sleeping. It's no coincidence, then, that on this night, Peter will deny Jesus three times, and all the others will run away and hide. The problem of the apostles is given to us by Jesus in verse 38. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They want to stay awake with him. This is the spirit part, their will. Their inner desire is attuned to God, but they are sleepy. This is the flesh part, attuned to self. The flesh ought always to be submissive to the spirit, but it isn't always. We too are to watch and pray that we not enter into temptation, that we not deny Jesus. And this is why we have Lenten disciplines, disciplines of fasting and charity and extra time in prayer, not an attempt to impress God or even earn some kind of meritorious reward for ourselves. We can't do that. We practice these disciplines in order to learn discipline ourselves, that the flesh will be subject to the spirit, in order that we might be able to stay awake with Jesus, watch and pray. We want these disciplines to become a part of us so that we were always watching. And when we see temptation to sin, we will pray. Pray to resist. Pray to strengthen. Pray to follow Jesus in faithfulness. In the Garden of Paradise, Adam was not awake. He was not paying attention to the dangers of temptation, not praying for strength from God to resist temptation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is fully awake, fully aware of what lies before him, and the cost of faithfulness to the Father. On this night, for you, he prays, not what I will, but your will be done. This is our prayer too. He taught us to pray this, didn't he? Daily. Didache, the early manual for Christians, written probably about the time of the epistles of St. Paul, exhorts Christians to pray that prayer morning, noon, and night, the Lord's Prayer. On this night, the Father answers him, and Jesus is strengthened through prayer to confront the trial. He rises from prayer and says to the apostles, the hour has come, and he walks out to meet his betrayer. He watched, he prayed. The Father strengthened him, and he goes out committed to the task that lies before him, ready to embrace the purpose of his incarnation. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you again this evening for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his great grace to us, for his victory in the garden, for his willingness to submit himself to you for our sakes. And we pray that during the season of Lent, you would strengthen us, that we might watch and pray, that we might have the discipline to see and resist temptation, that we might be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.